Hi, thanks for downloading this. My name's Alex Boardman. I'm a stand-up comedian. I have been for 20 years, and I run the New Comedians Night at the Comedy Store Manchester. On the podcast, we're going to be speaking to all of the acts on the stage tonight at the New Comedians Show. Okay, let's get on with the show. What a dick. Our first act this evening was Kate Tracy. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
You're from Liverpool.
I am.
And you were a recommendation by Rob Thomas, who was the second act on last week.
Yeah.
Last month's show. How long have you been doing it, Kate?
Well, I started about 5 years ago.
Right.
I dipped in and out, and now I'm sort of the last 12 months or so, I've been trying to just commit to it a bit more. I've got more freedom now, so I can do more stuff.
Right, have you got kids? Have they grown up?
Oh, no, well, yeah, he's 21.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but, like, it was just, like, with work, and because I used to work shifts and I don't anymore,
right,
and things like that, so...
So you can commit to it a bit.
Yeah.
How did you find that gig?
Because I found it a bit hard.
Oh, they were awful.
Yeah.
They were so
Do you know
hard.
What? I never normally mind going on first, either.
No.
It doesn't bother me either way, because I always think, well, someone's got to do it. I don't mind if it's me. But the audience, they must have been just, like, stone-cold sober. And
well, they are. But a couple of the problems we sometimes have in it, first is really difficult often. It's a 7:30 start, so it's an hour before a gig would normally start.
Yeah.
And also it's a Sunday, so every Sunday gig you'd start at
half
eight.
So let's just blame it on that and not
well,
me.
It's like that every month, to be honest. It starts really difficult, and then there's a point, and it's normally either during the first or the second act where they break. Now, you did get them, and it was just as you were getting off. Sadly, it was the shower bit. When you were doing. Now, if you remember, when you walked on, you did a joke about Father's Day.
Yeah.
You got a massive laugh.
I know. Hiya. All good. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, fathers. Is he laughing at? Are you a dad? Because if you want to be, I've had my coil out and I'm dead fertile just now.
And a couple of minutes before I got you on, they'd been really hard because I did a bit longer than normal because they were tough.
Yeah.
And for maybe the 2 or 3 minutes, I was like, oh, this is going to be a really good one. You walked on opening gap.
Yeah,
bang.
I didn't know I was going to do that until I was in the car coming over.
I
thought, oh, well, I'll do something about Father's Day.
Yeah, and it really, really worked. And it was like, oh, these will be great. And then they just sat back, didn't
they?
Yeah. And it's that almost the worst thing in comedy.
It was one of them things that, wait, some gigs you don't have to work at it. But this one, I felt like I was running uphill.
Yeah, it was like pushing a big rock up a hill.
Yeah,
it was hard. Do you know what, though? They were all sat smiling.
Yeah.
And that's worse. I'd kind of rather you were annoying people.
Yeah.
Not you. I mean, when I'm doing that, because that's, you know, happens all the time. It's that kind of... how would you describe your style?
I think it's observational. I think that's probably the best way to describe it.
There's not many people like, I mean, if you were a man,
you
are like every male comic in the country, myself included. But there aren't many women doing sort of what you do, just that kind of every woman. Did you say you're 40?
Yeah.
You said it on
stage.
There's
a lot of women who are now through comedy, and they all have they seem to have a specific style, but I've got a bad memory anyway,
right?
So I'm better doing observational stuff because it's coming from real things.
I
don't have to remember something I've written down because it's made up, because it is just coming from my life. But there are some people out there who are brilliant at what they do. Some of them can be quite feminist and dead political. And I don't mean feminist as a bad thing. I just mean that, you know, it's an identity that they want to put out there more than I would.
Yeah.
Or more than I could. Because I just don't think I'm clever enough to sort of do that with conviction. Because it ends up just making a show of myself and saying something really politically incorrect.
See, I kind of... I don't know what that peep was. I really liked it. Because I've not seen many acts like you who are just...
Oh, thanks.
Who are just kind of a lady, new... 40 years old, and just doing kind of real stuff, and kind of gritty stuff as well, like your stuff about like your relationship and the bit about Makers of Brew and all that bit. And I kind of thought, oh my god, that's like what my wife must think with me and things. And I thought that once or twice. I was like, this is like,
it all comes from, it does come from, the best advice I ever got was a comic, have you heard of Pauline Daniels?
No.
She was like the first female comedian on The Comedians in the 70s.
Oh, right. Really? Right? Yeah.
And she ran this like drama group in Liverpool. She's quite well known in Liverpool. And I was talking to her about comedy. And she, I don't think she writes as much. She had a writer who worked with her. But her delivery is just, she could do it with her eyes closed. And she's amazing. But she said, the only thing, a piece of advice I would give you is just be real. Be true to you. Because nobody else can be that. And that was good advice, and I've sort of tried to stick to that.
Yeah, well, thank you, Pauline Daniels, because I really enjoyed your set, and I thought it was super tough, and you did brilliantly well. Now, are you on Twitter or Facebook or anything?
I am. I'm at Kate Tracy 1. At Kate Tracy 1.
Number 1.
Number 1. And on...
Has Tracy got an EY ending?
EY, TRACEY, yeah.
Perfect.
So, yeah,
Facebook?
Follow me. I'm on Facebook, yeah. Right. Just Katie Tracy.
Cracking. Right, well, thanks for that, Kate.
Thanks.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
So, second up tonight, Daniel Soff.
Hey.
A.K.A. Fonzie.
I get a reference.
Do you? How old are you? About 24?
No, I'm 29.
29.
I look younger than I actually, obviously, am, yeah. What is the show called again?
New comedian. What, this one that you've just done?
No, the Fonzie
Happy
show.
Days.
Happy Days, that's it, yeah.
Okay, so, cool. Right, now, just to paint the picture for the audience, you couldn't look less like Fonzie, really. You're kind of a tall, black dude, shaven head and stuff.
Yeah.
You stormed that very, very tough gig.
Thank you.
Beforehand, we were talking about that, like, at some point, the first or second act will break this crowd, because they were tough, and you just walked on and bang, they loved you straight away.
I was glad that I didn't go on first, because I've been to a few gigs before. I know how it kind of works.
Yeah,
the first one can be kind of like a sacrificial lamb. But the second spot, that's almost like a sweet spot for me. So I kind of thought that I've got them in my kind of grasps, and I just went on and did my thing.
Because I'm more of a geek, but I found out that growing up around it, I've still got a little bit of that South London thug in me. Because like the geek in me got an A in my history exam, right? Now, I could have got an A star, I swear. But when I read on the exam, who do you think killed JFK and why? The fuck me decide, you know what? Man ain't gonna ask that question, nah, because man ain't no snitch. I ain't gonna snitch.
Yeah, they loved it. They really liked your stuff. Who were your influences? Because I couldn't quite pin down. You see newer comedians, and you're like, sometimes go, oh, he must like this comedian, or he must like that. Who would it be for you? Is there anyone? Or
there is, definitely there is. And I think I like this guy because he's not known as a comedian. It's actually Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jamie Foxx, known as a movie star, known as a singer.
Yeah.
But he started in comedy, and I think he's the funniest person in the world.
He's hilarious.
The great thing is people don't know about his comedy, so they don't know about his style. So when I go up, like you said, some people can go up and say, okay, he's trying to be like Chris Rock, he's trying to be like Kevin Hart. I'm trying to be like Jamie Foxx. People don't know this, so it kind of works for me.
Yeah. Well, when you went on, I went, hiya, my name's Jamie Foxx. I mean, I kind of tweaked. That was weird, that intro bit. It was like we were doing Stars in Their Eyes for a bit. Who is it you're going to meet tonight, Daniel? No, Jamie Foxx, I've not heard anybody cites Jamie Foxx as like an influence.
Which is good. I think keep your influences unique.
Yeah. I've only seen him on... roasts, you know, when he does roasts.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of gets people because they just, the exact what you say, they think he's a movie star. They don't know he is and was a brilliant comic.
Yeah, his chops started in comedy. And that kind of roast you saw, was it the Emmett Smith?
Legendary. Yeah.
He's got a lot of kind of like viral bits. And I think he's one of those people that might be appreciated later. So I need to get good now before people see his stuff and realize that I'm ripping him off.
a multi-million-dollar earning, maybe. Yeah, he's underrated.
Yeah.
you mentioned you were from London originally. Are you based up here now in Manchester?
I am. The only reason why I started comedy in the first place is because I moved from London to Manchester, and I didn't know if I'd have a friendship group here. So I didn't just want to be stuck doing nothing in the nights. So I tried to do a couple of things. I thought, okay, I'm moving up north. Always like comedy, so I wanted to try that. I thought maybe acting and also horse riding. That didn't really kind of take off. I thought the north, I don't know why. So the comedy thing, I did it. I did a course with a guy called Big Lou, and then
Big Lou,
So I just got an email back saying you've kind of signed up for this course. I forgot all about it. I went, it was good because we sat down, we talked about comedy, and it gave me a nice kind of first start gig where I brought all my friends down. And then, so I've done that, and then after that, just open mics with a lot of new comedians like Simon Lomas.
Simon
Hutchinson.
Simon was here last month, I think, the month before. Yeah, he's really fun. Do you know what? I'm going to have to be more careful booking people because the first two acts tonight have both done comedy courses. And I've got a real, I've got no problem with people doing them, but at the same time, I sometimes wonder if it breeds a certain, but it breeds a certain kind of comedian who walks on and says, good evening, I know what you're thinking, I look like,
a cross between, I know. And as comedians, you do want to avoid things that loads of people do. You want to be fresh.
You just want to be unique, yeah.
However, one thing I do say in the defense of comedy courses, is that I don't think I would have done it if I didn't do it.
Brilliant then.
I don't think I... But, yeah.
Well, that's great because you were really, really good. And, I mean, Frank Skinner did a comedy course years and years ago and he's a brilliant comedian. Yeah. So, I'd, you know, there's a real sort of comedy feeling. I know Big Lou Tony's a nice fella and he wouldn't rip anybody off. Yeah. I think the problem was... people were running comedy courses who weren't professional comedians and they were charging hundreds of pounds.
Yeah. It was reasonably priced with Big Lou. And I think just the major thing is getting on stage. Just getting on stage. Because sometimes it could be such a big step. You can't imagine it. Like, how can I could never see myself there. But I think that course and also going around seeing other people do it, I was thinking, I'm better than this guy.
You are naturally good. You are naturally confident. And you look... like a performer, do you know what I mean? Yeah. You stand there, you're tall and it's imposing and your delivery's good.
Most comics, people have told them, I think you're funny, you should do it before you get on. So I had that before. But then I thought they were lying to me at first because I started doing open mics, people weren't laughing. So I thought my friends were setting me up because they told me I'm funny, I'd get up. They wasn't laughing. But it is a skill you have to get back up and keep on doing it to kind of find your voice on stage.
That's all it is. What a great way to end that interview.
Perfect.
How do people follow you, Daniel?
You can follow me on Twitter. Search Daniel Soff. My Twitter name's kind of embarrassing. It's Swagador.
Swagador.
I created it in 2008. Swagador. I'll spell it out. This is embarrassing. It's Swagadore. So Swagador. It's just all one word. It's embarrassing, isn't
it? Do you know what? I'm so old and white. And I was like that. I wonder if that's like a black Dumbledore.
I've never heard that one before. Sometimes I get, it kind of sounds like El Salvador, like a play on that. But I like that.
Yeah, you don't. Thanks. Thanks, Daniel.
Perfect. Thank you.
Third up tonight, Will Hutchby, who I just totally blanked and started to call Huxtable because I was thinking...
It was weird.
It was very weird. How did you find it, Will?
I quite enjoyed it, actually.
I thought you were great.
They're like a story. They want stories. So they all look happy. Like, they're properly like, hi. And then they don't want to laugh. But someone farted during my routine. That was superb. Like, you couldn't write that. It was beautiful. Imagine if I wasn't real. Imagine if I was imaginary. Imagine, did someone just fart on the front row? Yes, you did. Someone just farted. That was amazing. Is anyone going to own up? That's the best heckle this week. So we just got a little squeaker. That was beautiful. Right, okay. I love Manchester. This is beautiful. That never happens in London. Good. I'm not from London, don't worry. Right. Sorry, that's really thrown me. It's great. I turned to my girlfriend and I was like, imagine if it was real. Imagine if I was imaginary. Imagine if you'd imagined me. She went, if I'd imagined you, you wouldn't look like that. Ed Sheeran's little sister. That's what I got. So... it's rude, isn't it?
You'd have to plant an audience. It'd be a really specific skill set.
The thing is, I'm now worried that like I just scuffed my shoe and there wasn't a fart. Or I farted, and now they're all like, it was you, mate. And that's why they just sort of stared at me.
Yeah, I've never, ever been part of a gig in 20 years where there's been an audience member farts, and everybody just kind of just pees themselves laughing.
It was amazing. It was a proper little squeaker.
I really like your stuff as well. Let's not focus on that. Because
no, but I want to. Because it was the best bit.
It was the best
bit. It was amazing.
I don't really like this audience tonight. So if any of you that were in that room listen to this, I'm not bothered if you do, but you're really rubbish. But you're very nice, but you didn't give enough to those acts because there was some great... You did some brilliant stuff.
Oh, jeez, man. I thought Dan Soff was amazing.
Dan was really superb. Good. And they really, really responded well to Dan, and I was like, this will fly with you then. And then you're doing your sort of impression of Gollum a bit, and then the bit about orcs and all that stuff, and then the Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it was like, why are they not?
Why aren't they getting on board? But because of like the way my head is, I'm like, they're on board. They're on board. And because of that, people sort of end up having to be on board. So I'm like, get on my train. I'm going to drive it anyway. And they're all like, oh, okay, then let's go with him.
Were you an annoying kid?
Terribly.
You can tell because you've got this kind of... It's a
Rich
great,
is laughing too much.
It's a great skill for a comic because you've got these loads of like effervescence, loads of self-confidence. You seem to just be dead happy within your own skin.
Oh, cheers, mate.
When you're on. And I was wondering, were you like a show-offy child? Were you a kid that was always funny? Were you not funny when you were a kid?
I was an only child.
There we go.
Yeah, it explains all of it, doesn't it? And I wasn't allowed a dog, so I used to make them up. Right. Like, that's how weird I was.
Because you did a really good bit about having an imaginary friend.
Yeah, that's,
I like that bit.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's 100% true.
That story,
I had a review about that, and someone was like, I hope Will Hutchby's stuff isn't true, because if it is, he's a very damaged individual.
Oh,
I was like, it's true, mate. It's totally true. Shut off a climbing frame. So, on board.
See, I thought that was a really, like, endearing bit. I don't know how anybody would see that and be like, oh, he's damaged, this guy. I thought, oh, that's the bit I liked. Like, one of the bits I liked the best. You had some quite clever material. I like your stuff about when you were a scout.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really nice little story. And then I like your final gag. All those jokes are really almost more suited to a one-liner style gag.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
So your delivery, you just throw jokes away, which I love. It's like my favourite style delivery, actually. But audiences quite often don't. Do you ever slow down? Do you ever signpost some of those jokes a bit more?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't know what it is. I think I'm quite nervous tonight. And when you do the Comedy Store or Excess Malarkey in Manchester, there's something in your head that goes, just go up there and do it really fast and then get off and go and have a beer and then forget about it until you have to do it a year later.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
And yeah,
I don't know what it is,
because
you build it up in your head, don't you?
Yeah.
And like, this is a big gig.
That's interesting, because I find when I die, which is still quite often really, because I've got quite a high turnover of material, and it just has to die for a bit, and then it suddenly is good. When I die, my delivery...
Did I die?
No.
No.
I'm talking about your delivery.
When I die?
But
did I die?
No.
I thought it was all right.
No, my delivery is the first thing to go.
Yeah.
And it's almost... When you were there and you said you were racing through it, were you aware that you, like, could you slow down? Did you want to slow down, or did you...
You know what? I never want to. And I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's like, if I speak really fast, they have to keep up.
Yeah.
Or they're going to switch off. And it's just like powering it into them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I quite enjoy that. I can do slow as well, but I enjoy fast.
No, I really like your style.
Because it's energy, isn't it?
Do you know what? As well, I think you leave the dead wood behind. That's what I like. It felt like you didn't need them. Come with me if you can, and if you can't keep up, you
know. Particularly like with that room, because they're so sort of standoffish. I was like, I'm just going to pump them with energy. Not in a naughty way, but like with energy.
Yeah. And you did. It was really, really... I love your stuff. I thought it was a great performance, Will. How do people find out more about Will Hutchby?
I'm doing a show at the festival, Edinburgh, this year. I'm doing a cooking show with Kevin Dewsbury.
Oh, I know. I love Kevin Dewsbury. Oh, that would be great,
Mike
then.
Newell. And
is it called Kev's Kitchen?
It's Kev's Comedy Kitchen with a risque 3Ks.
And where's that at?
It's at the Mash House, just the Sonic at the Mash House.
Perfect.
On Cowgate.
Oh, recommend that.
Am I allowed to do it? Am I allowed to plug?
Of course you are. They'll be brilliant. Those are two great comments. I love Kev. I love Newell.
Be really cool.
That'll be brilliant. And Twitter?
Twitter, at ShadowmakerWill.
Okay.
Don't laugh. I don't. You know when you... Yeah.
Okay. Grow up. Thanks, Will.
All right. Cheers.
So we started back the second half. The crowd were slightly more animated. And then we had our first act of the second half, which was Hannah Platt. Hello, Hannah.
Hello.
You are quite a dark comedian, aren't you?
Yeah, it's fun. I liked that I didn't get that many laughs, but I got a lot of stares and people wondering if I was all right, and I'm okay with that.
You got some you got some big laughs from all the comics at the back of the room. Laughs, these kind of laughs. Oh!
Yeah, that's what I like. I like it when people do that.
Do you consciously go after that?
No, I just think that that's just what I find interesting to talk about, so I like it. But
right.
I do like having a reaction for it as well, because it feels like it's uncontrollable.
Well, I was listening to an interview with Jimmy Carr And he was saying that those are his favourite kind of laughs. Kind of, oh, they laugh and then they go, oh, afterwards. It's yeah, talking and laugh at that.
It feels a bit like it's more instinctive rather than people just going, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, the, yeah. And it's the, that double reaction is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that music's just kicked in really well. I don't know where
disco
that's going.
With the comedy stuff.
I don't know if it is. I think it's probably next door or something. Who knows? Who knows where it's
they're
coming from?
They're having a better time.
than you. Anyway, you don't have that great a time anyway. You're a bit like, what's that cartoon?
Is it Daria?
Daria,
yeah. Everybody says this. Everyone says, yeah, and then I got glasses as well and I didn't
right.
know myself.
So, yeah, yeah, when you walked on and you what was really interesting was we were only saying, I can't remember, with one of the earlier acts, I think it was Daniel, who'd done a comedy course.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how comedians go on often who've done comedy courses and say, I don't know what you're thinking. You're thinking I look like X crossed with Y. And then your opening line was a total subversion of that where you just played with that idea of a joke and then just...
So all my favourite comedians start their sets by talking about how they look like the love child of two different celebrities. I can't do that. Because quite clearly, no love was involved in creating this. This was more of a hate fuck, wasn't it? Happy Father's Day.
Hit us with something brutal, obviously, yeah. as you did every time. You did not do a comedy course, I'm guessing.
No.
No way, I
tell. Really love comedy. I've always liked it. My friends all have ran nights and stuff like that, or are comedians, but I could never do it because it freaked me out and I was too scared.
Right, so, and you had to really conquer that. How many gigs have you done?
I've been going since October.
Is that all?
Yeah, yeah. But,
so that's some really good material then for 6 months.
I love it that like it was all right, but then in a short time period, it's a lot better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I really like yourself. And also, because I'd not seen you before because you were just doing an open.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have prepared them less because we were just kind of, I think I was messing about with, there was a member of the audience called Miriam. So we were doing this improvised sort of game show and it was kind of a bit cheesy and a bit fun, but it got some energy in the room finally.
Yeah, and then I took all of it
and then
out
you
again.
Came on and just went bang. Yeah, no, I really
well,
like
maybe
that.
That's that set it up a bit more, because if you'd have sort of known, it might have taken some of the wind
well
out of
exactly
it.
I think it would, because the juxtaposition of the two things work really, really well. And yeah. then some of your so because dark comedy is black, it's bandied about a bit, people go, oh, I'm quite dark, as if it's like a, and what often comedians forget is to do the jokes.
Yeah,
and
for it to be funny as well. You
yeah.
can't just talk about abortions because
no.
some people can't make them funny.
No, they can't. And there's a train of thought that I totally subscribe to, that anything is funny.
Yeah.
As long as you do it in the right way.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you so did that. And mercilessly as well. I take it you'd joke about anything. I don't think there's anything you would...
No.
If you had the right joke.
Yeah, well, like, I'll sort of do stuff, like, the day after, if I can. Like, there's a lot of, it's sort of, I don't know, it's good to talk about it, and then loads of people just go up to you and go, like, oh, I suffer with that as well, or whatever. And
yeah.
that's quite, you know, makes you feel, like, less of a weirdo.
Yeah, you did some material about being suicidal and depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, my mum's never seen it, and so that's going to be a surprise.
Yeah, no, she's listening to this podcast.
No, she's gonna come and see me at a gig in July that I'm doing, like, where she's from. And it's a bit like, yeah, have a drink before you come, you know.
Yeah, but it's great you can sort of laugh at it and turn it to your advantage and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Is that true then? Are there some elements
yeah,
of this
oh, it's
true?
All, yeah, it's all true. But it's not true now.
Right,
like,
yeah, fine.
You know. Yeah.
Do you know who Maria Bamford is? She's
yes,
like one of my, she's
I
one of
like
my absolute favourites.
Yeah.
Have you seen a new sitcom at all, Lady
I've
January?
Seen a bit of it. I wasn't that, because like, I really like her and I can appreciate that it's quite a bit, like, it's a bit silly as well. But like, that's not the kind of stuff that I'm into. So like, I really like her stand-up. I really like that special where she's just sat on her couch.
Oh yeah, with the one with a mum and dad that are not quite a mum and dad, but
yeah, and they've also, you know, she's living there because she's had a mental breakdown. She's got a lot around her.
Yeah,
so that's pretty. I
well,
like that.
Stick with Lady Dynamite, because I watched the first one. I watched the pilot and I was like, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
And I like it so much, so I've got to give it another chance. And it's like they must have upped the budget or given something. Wow, okay. Oh my God, it just really kicks off in episode
maybe
two.
I think I got to like episode three and I wasn't
there. Right. I really love it. I'm going to watch some when I get back. How can people follow you, Hannah, or Facebook? Yeah, is there any? Have you got anything set up?
Twitter.
What is your Twitter?
Hannah the Platt.
Hannah the Platt.
Yeah, Hannah Platt was taken.
Right.
I didn't want to put numbers on the end of it because I don't want people to know how old I am. So
I can imagine if you like wake up one morning and you think, oh, I'm a bit sad. Is there anyone can cheer me up? Hannah the Platt's tweets.
Definitely go there for some my quirky take on life.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
Closing the show tonight, Monty Burns. Hello, Monty.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm awesome. I almost think you, because your real name's Greg. Are we allowed to say what your real name is?
No, I'm still wanted.
Right, so Monty Burns then. How did you find it? Because you've done New Comedians before, haven't you? You were on First.
Oh, I'm very experienced, yes.
Yes, yeah. So you're like not the newest of comedians.
No, I did it before. It was in the auditorium and it was the same sort of feeling again. They're quite a hard crowd to get around. They're quite a tough egg to like
to crack.
Bash on your head.
I don't know. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're like Jonah.
Do you know what? Like, I'm nice in real life. I really am. I'm a nice bloke and everything. Like, you know...
That was
but
quite well.
They're just always like looking at me on stage like I'm going to kick one of them in the throat.
Yeah.
So like,
maybe
nice,
it's
dude.
Because you say things like, good maybe, evening, yeah. I'm going to kick you in the throat.
maybe it's like getting people's faces. With your
leather jacket, unshaven, and neck tattoo. Maybe yeah. These things are connected. Now, just to give a bit of background to the evening, it's Father's Day. So yes. That's always grim death. Stone Roses have been playing in Manchester, so they've decimated. I've been at the Comedy Store all week and they've had an impact on Manchester. I've been in Manchester every night. The pubs have been quiet.
Yeah.
Everything's been quiet. So tonight we had about 85 in. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Father's Day brings in kids who think, 20-year-olds who go, oh, bring me daddy like this.
Yeah.
And they do not like it. It happened last year. They did really not like it.
What's this dirty Scotsman talking about the wanking in prison?
Yeah. But that was, for a sort of comedy virgin audience, that was a hardcore second half. And I stood from Hannah, whose material was bleak and dark and hilarious, it must be said.
Uh-huh.
And then you went on and did not miss a beat with the...
Fucking hell. I've been to prison, James. I'll teach you how to survive, yeah? Your first day on the yard, all them convicts looking at you, they know you're fresh, they know your clothes are new. Don't let that affect you, James. Be confident. Puff your chest out. You walk up to the biggest, hardest, tattooed, skinhead, maniac-looking guy you can find, James. You walk right up to that guy and suck his cock. That's what you do, right? That's what I did. No one wants to mess with you and your Stabby Joe's girlfriend, do they? I mean, I miss him.
In fact, let's crank up this sort of...
Yeah, like, well, this is the thing. Like, everything I say on stage, everything, absolutely everything, you guys get it because you're comedians. It's not real. None of it's real. I don't mean... I mean, I hate Jewish people, but I mean, apart from that... No, I'm joking, right? None of it's real. None of it. It's all made up. It's all fantasy. It's all, you know, just think of a scenario in your head and you try and make jokes about it. I know you guys know that, but when you go on and some people are like, is he being serious? What, the comedian at the Comedy Store doing a comedy set.
And also the fifth comedian on that night. That's what always gets me. And it's like, at some point, you've got to think this is not legal testimony. It's not true.
Yeah.
It's clearly all made up. You have some good, but you have some really good bits.
Oh, thanks, man.
Considering the last time I saw you, it was probably only about, it wasn't even a year ago, we were at that charity day, weren't we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, you compare your own gig, don't you?
Yes, I do, yeah.
And you could tell because you kind of did a bit of a compare-y style,
mm-hmm.
But also your turnover of material seems quite high because you had a lot of stuff there I'd not seen.
Yeah, I'm always writing, I'm always trying to edit it, and if it doesn't work, I'm quite brutal. It's horrible, as you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, giving your children away to adoption sometimes. You're like, this is going to kill, it's going to be amazing, and then you just get absolute silence.
It's the worst.
You're like, ah, dude, really? The thing with the dog gets his willy out at the end. Isn't that funny? No? All right, okay, let's move on. You know?
What I noticed is from when you did it last, maybe a year ago, and even when I saw you at that charity day, your best bits, your best couple of bits, I'd not seen before.
Yeah.
And they are better written and better. They're just longer, more jokes. Mm-hmm. I've kind of hidden the stuff. The jokes are hidden better. The topics are funnier and the laughs are bigger.
Oh, thanks,
and
man.
So it just like there's a real definite like great development. I wondered if you think comparing's helped you in any way with that.
I think it's more to do with my awful childhood, I'll be honest with you.
Right, okay.
No, yeah, comparing. I mean, you get thrown into the mix and you have to be funny straight off the bat. It's very, very difficult. You know, to be good, I mean, you can compare rubbish and just bring anybody down, who cares. But, I mean, it's hard to be a good compare, and I've really worked hard to try and get better at stand-up, better at comparing, and because of the compare side, someone will throw something out to you and you've got to be quick off
instantly,
the mark.
Yeah, and you can see, and also I think it relaxes you and it puts you in a better place quicker.
Absolutely.
You relax and become yourself because tonight, how many times have I been on stage? 8, 9?
Yeah.
And when you're comparing newer material nights, you might have 10 acts on. You go on stage 20 odd times.
Right.
By the end of the night, you're tired and you're bored and you don't feel like it. But you've done the equivalent of 3 gigs compared to somebody who's just done 5 minutes.
Right, yeah.
I think if you're a new act, you should really attempt to compare. Yeah. Always. I think it's like the best.
Especially if you're bringing me on.
Yeah, especially. Well, the best advice I got was that early on when I started. Now, you were mentioning before you got some advice from Tom Stade.
I absolutely did. And I like the fact you name dropped him and not me. But yeah, I did. He was saying, because I build it up so big in my head. Like the Comedy Store, it's the biggest, you know. And I mean, there's big venues around and stuff, yeah. But the Comedy Store for me is one of the biggest ones. It's like, this place is iconic, man.
In the UK, it's definitely the biggest.
Yeah.
So you were here doing an open spot on a weekend a couple of weeks ago, is that right, with Tom?
Yeah, it was a Thursday, and Tom had just said, look, don't put too much pressure on yourself, you know, just chill out, relax. First 5 seconds you go out there, don't say anything. Just let him stare at you. Let him get the gist of you. And I went, that sounds ridiculous. But then I went and did it. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Just stand there. Let them have a good look at you. And he did the exact same thing for about 5 seconds. And then he just did like a hand gesture. And they laughed. And I went, he hasn't even said anything.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
incredible. But yeah, I'm gigging here and other places like all the bigger clubs and stuff, you gig with people who really know what they're talking about. I always say, like, particularly in newer acts, don't listen to advice from me, dude. I've got 3 years. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Don't listen to advice. That's true.
Yeah,
don't ever listen to Monty's advice, ever.
Especially if alcohol's involved.
With a neck tattoo. And
You'll end up naked in Bolivia.
In prison.
In prison. It's prison rules, dude.
What? You've got a night in Leeds.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Chortle Combat Comedy.
Chortle Combat Comedy. Now, if people want to find out more about that, because I've had really good reviews of that show.
Yeah, yeah, we're doing good, man.
How did you find out about Chortle Combat Comedy?
There's a Facebook page, which is obviously just search for Chortle Combat Comedy, but there's chortlecombatcomedy.com as well, and we're looking... I say we, but dichotomously, it's me. I do it myself, obviously. Yeah. At the end of the year, we are looking to hopefully have some theatre gigs and book really big names and
right.
stuff.
Right, that sounds good,
then. I'll give you a shout, Alex.
Yeah, nice, because I've got quite a long name, because my real name is Alexander. So, so that is quite a big name. Nine letters. Yeah. And how do you follow Monty Burns?
On Twitter... maybe at Monty's Rants.
Right, I was going to say Monty Burns is presumably taken.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I reckon. I don't know. Like when I first started, because my real name is Gregor, like, and someone had said, "Oh, there's a comedian called Greg Burns." Obviously,
yeah,
so
yeah.
You can't really, you may get lumped in with
so
him.
So who is there that nobody else would think he's not you?
Yeah, exactly. So when you Google Monty Burns, I really thought that one
you
through.
Did
didn't
not.
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that. It's just Monty Burns Comedy. You just type that in. I'm on things,
Monty's so. Rants.
Monty's
right.
Rants. Yeah.
Excellent. It was good fun tonight. They were not good fun, but we had fun.
They were rubbish, mate. I stunk that room out. No, I didn't.
There's about 10 nice people in there. If you're listening to this and you're a part of that show tonight, you can come back. But other people, if I see you in this room again, I am going to kick you out.
I am going to kick you in the throat.
I'll kick you in the throat. Thanks, Gregor.
Cheers, man.
Okay, well, thanks to all the new comedians that were part of the show tonight. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you made it this far, congratulations. If you want to share us and maybe rate and review us, that would be much appreciated. If you want to get in contact with me, my Twitter address is at ALX Boardman. So that's Alex Boardman without the E in. Thanks for listening. Come to a show.